Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 11. One of my favorite passages is when we were working with the deaf. We had left the deaf to change focus, because as I'm reading the New Testament, I found that God's program is church planting. God works through the local church. And even though we were in the deaf ministry and we were establishing ministries in various churches with sign language and training and teaching people, we didn't want to just be doing just the deaf and just for doing deaf camps and that kind of thing. We wanted to be involved with church planting, because that, we believe, was the heart of the New Testament, the book of Acts. And no greater place to get a model of where you're going to establish a pattern than the book of Acts. And in Acts chapter 11, we have actually something that really we can focus on in the area of missions. Look with me, verse 19, please, and following, where it says, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word of, to none, but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, they spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed on and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came, had seen the grace of God and was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord." Let's go to the Lord as we pray. Father, may your Spirit be our teacher, and may you show us those things which will encourage us as we think of our part in the work of God in a local church. And I pray, Heavenly Father, help us to focus on those things that you want us to focus on, that leads to the salvation of others. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll notice in verse 22 that the church in Jerusalem had heard what God was doing. So they sent somebody. You know, that's what a local church does. They hear that God wants to do a work or is doing a work someplace, and they send missionaries. We're thankful for each and every supporting church that we have. We've been now in New Zealand 25 years. We are going to start our 26th year in August. And then we have been 31 years, I believe, in missions altogether, maybe a little bit longer. But we thank the Lord for those who have supported us and have given to us that prayer support. Because I want to tell you, we do realize that the work on the field cannot be done by enthusiasm or vitality or by one's own might. It takes the power of God. And we realize how limited we are, both physically, mentally, and spiritually. And we need the power of God to do it. We need God's people behind us. And that's what happened with the church. As the people were being saved in Antioch, the church in Jerusalem heard what was going on, and they sent help. And that's why missionaries go, because churches want to help in the work of the Lord. And there's nothing greater in the world than being involved, what I believe, in church planting ministries, or being involved in a local church that sees people getting saved. In fact, if you'll go with me at verse 23, you'll see that when Barnabas went, notice verse 23, because this is where our focus is going to be, "who when he came and had seen the grace of God," what? "Was glad." And I want us to focus on that a little bit, because I think sometimes we as Christians, and I don't know if you've been saved for a long period of time. How many of you have been saved for 10 years or more? You've been saved for 10 years or more. Let me keep up there just a moment. Come on, don't keep up. I just want to look around, because I know there's a lot of young people and they're not raising their hand. That's a good sign. But I look around, and if you kind of look around, look at that. The majority of you here have been saved more than 10 years. Isn't it wonderful to be saved? But let me give you a warning. We got to be careful that the longer we are saved, we forget not what Jesus Christ did for us in the beginning. It is easy to keep going and going and going and live on the spirituality of our past and forget that the grace of God is new every day. We cannot just sit back and just coax along. We cannot just roll along. We have to realize that when God saved us by His grace, He continues us in our walk by grace, and we have nothing to live for except by His grace. And when we look at that, we can see that we can rejoice at what God is doing. But I kind of wonder a little bit, how many people around here do you know? Do you know everybody in here? And if you do, have you ever listened to testimonies of one another? I love listening to testimonies of how people got saved. I love to hear how God saved their souls. I don't like to hear about the sin they were involved with. But you know what? I like to hear when they get saved and they're changed and what God does with them. That is the work of grace. And I wonder how many times we fail to look at what God's doing in the lives of others. You know, number one, we can overlook God's grace in our own lives. We can kind of take it for granted that, well, yeah, He saved me, and that's fine, and I'll just keep on going. But we need to realize that we live by the grace of God each and every day. And that's what Paul said. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. But it wasn't just him that did the laboring. It was the grace of God that worked in him. And this is what we try to see when we see people being saved. I told you we had a number of Filipinos who came to our church because they came from other independent Baptist churches in the Philippines. One of the things they do is Filipinos know other Filipinos. And so when they start bringing them, many of them are from a Catholic background or they come from no real religious background. And it's been so encouraging to see them as their walk with the Lord increases. You begin to see what's taking place. In 2014, we wanted to see our church, at least I did. I wanted to see our church take a foothold so that we could begin to start establishing other churches. Because there's a real lack of that. Number one, there's a lack of spiritual leadership in the country. Number two, there's a lack of spiritual leadership amongst national pastors in the country. And I am big, not so much on foreign missions, but in New Zealand, of churches taking care of national pastors. Because if we don't have national pastors in churches, in the churches, we're going to be totally dependent on missionary work in the country. And I don't believe that's what God intends. I believe that God wants us to get inside there, into a country, into an area, evangelize, train up the nationals in that area, and see them doing a work because it's the grace of God in them. And so we look at some of the things that we encourage our people with your walk with the Lord. And let me say this. If your walk isn't what it should be with the Lord, you can witness all you want and you can do as much involvement in the work of God and you're going to find yourself very limited, if not failing. Because if we are not walking with God, we are losing the life that Christ has given to us. He saved us to give us life and to give us an abundant life. But if we're trying to focus so much on our witness, but our walk isn't there, I'm going to tell you something. It won't work. But if you will focus on your walk with God, you will witness for Christ. You will want to witness for Christ. You will be a soul winner because Christ will bring people to you. But if you're not walking with God, don't expect your witness for Christ to be effective. And then how many times we see some Christians who want to be so involved in a work that they have no time to witness to others, nor do they have time to walk with the Lord on a personal level. And that's not right either. And so we need to focus in those areas. And if you'll focus on your walk, God will take care of your witness and you will be able to witness much more effectively. And then you'll also be able to do a greater work because it won't be so much in the flesh as it is in the will of God. And so when Barnabas went to this church, he began to see the grace of God in their lives. And it says he was glad. You know, as I look back over the work that God's been doing, I mean, 5 years, I've been there 25 years and I have never seen happen in New Zealand what is happening in our churches today, especially in the churches we've been involved with. Now, it's taken so long to build them up. For instance, we had a missionary come in from another mission board, and he was saying, you know, when I come over here, I'm going to show you missionaries how it should be done because you're just not doing it right. And I'm going to come in here, and in 4 years, we're going to have a church up and running, have a national pastor, and I'll go out and I'll start another church. I think that was 12 years ago he said that, and he's still in the same place. And he's beginning to find out, you know what? You can say all you want, and you can have your imagery of what you think should happen, but if God doesn't do the work, it won't go. It has to be the work of God. And so I want our focus to be, while we're in Papakura there, we saw a number of people saved, we saw a number of people, but we didn't see them give their lives to Christ. I mean, we rejoice that God saved them, but we would not see the lifestyle change to the point where they would just give their heart and soul to Jesus Christ. And therefore, we saw a number of people falling away. But then we saw others who had a desire to not only be saved, but to want to witness for Christ. And they would bring in their friends, and they would talk to them about Christ. So we started concentrating on our walk with God. Why? So if we concentrate on our walk with God, our witness for Christ would be more effective. You know, if you're not walking with God the way you should, how do you expect somebody else to want to have the life that you have? In the world in which we live in Auckland, you can talk to people and say, are you a Christian? Yeah, I was a Christian once. What do you mean once? Well, I used to go to church. I used to be involved. I used to, you know, go to this church and that church and whatever. But then I saw the hypocrisy in it, and I saw the things, and I just kind of quit. So you quit being a Christian. See, their concept of Christianity is based upon going to church and doing things for God. No, Christianity is not the things you do. It's what Christ does in you. We are His workmanship, created into Christ Jesus unto good works. Not that you go out and do good works so you can be created to be saved. And so their concept of what Christianity is faulty. And therefore, when they start finding all the trials and the turmoils in life, they give up and fall away. And so we come in and say, wait a minute, have you ever experienced what it means to have eternal life? Have you ever experienced to have your sins forgiven and walk with God? And of course, this is a foreign concept to them. A lot of it is what they call over there froth and bubbles. It's just no substance. It's just foam. And you know, when you squeeze foam, it just doesn't, it gives way. There's no substance to it. And so it is with a lot of Christianity over there. And so you start talking about Christianity, and they'll say, oh yeah, there are some Christians, and I wouldn't want to be like those kind of Christians. And I was talking to one man, and he says, oh yeah, these Christians, they're all phonies, they're all hypocrites. And I said, wait a minute, you don't know me, you don't know who I am. And I said, in fact, my neighbor, my landlord, he came to us, and his daughter's a Christian, and she's been witnessing, says, Dad, if you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell, and you just need to get saved, Dad, so you won't. She goes to a charismatic church, and she said, Daddy, you're just going to die and go to hell. And he goes, well, I'll just die and go to hell. And then when they rented the place to us, he was talking to me one day, and he said, so I suppose you're going to preach to me and tell me I'm going to die and go to hell. And I said, no, John, I'm not. I said, you've already been preached to. But I'll tell you what I am going to do, John. I'm going to live the way a Christian ought to live. And if I don't, I want you to point me out and say, you failed in this area. And I will apologize and I'll correct it. He went, wow, that's a different approach. You know what I just did? I condemned myself, didn't I? Because I made him watch me. And he does. And you know, it's funny because as a man who doesn't believe God, that he says he doesn't believe in God, he brings up the subject a lot of times. It seems like he wants to talk about religion. I said, you know what? This is a good thing. You know, because all of a sudden he wants to talk. And I say, go ahead. Now, since you started the subject, let me complete it. And then I get to talk to him about Christ. And all of a sudden it just kind of tones down a little bit. But I want to tell you something. A lot of people, they do see the phony Christianity. You see, when God does a work of grace in our lives, we can see it. We can see it. And how do you know? How do you know that when you look at somebody's life in a church or what's happening, how do you know it is the work of God? Well, let me tell you what Paul told Titus to look for. If you go to Titus chapter 2, it's very clear of what we need to be seeing in the lives of others when it comes to the work of grace. Recently, I preached a series of messages on your walk with God, and I started with this question. When did obedience to the Word of God become legalism? And they said, what? And I said, when did obedience to the Word of God become legalism? And that was a good starting question, because we had been talking to people all about legalism, liberty, and license. I believe there's a lot of false teaching out there on that subject. And I just said, you know, I'm just getting tired of being branded a legalist. I said, if you want to be technical, because it seems like if you have any rules or standards or anything else, you're a legalist. I mean, have any of you had that kind of approach? And I get sick and tired of it, and I'm not taking it anymore. And so what I did is I started saying, okay, who has more rules and regulations than anybody else in the world? God does. Then he must be a legalist. And if he's a legalist, I'm a legalist. But you know what? God's not a legalist. He's a loving God who's holy and righteous, and he wants to save us as sinners to make us like him. And he did not give us liberty, which is doing whatever you want. No, that's not liberty. It's meaning I do have the liberty in Christ to do something, but I'm not going to do it because I love Jesus Christ. And it's not license to do whatever you want, because then you're just willful sin against God. And I said, so we're going to tackle this thing, and we're going to find out why we live the way we do. We live by the grace of God. And I said, now I'm going to show you, according to what Paul says, what the grace of God is. So in chapter 2, Paul begins to lay out the different types of people in a church. First of all, he starts with the aged men. And if you looked at verse 2, you talk about the aged men. Then he goes down to the aged women. Then he talks about the young women and the young men. And he begins to tell them about their lives. Now go with me down to verse 11. And here's what he says here in verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. So if it's appeared, you ought to be able to see it, correct? If it's appeared, you can see something's appeared. What is it that the grace of God appears and sees? Now, this is so simple, I don't know why some of these people can't get it right. Verse 12 tells us what it is. Teaching us, the grace of God is teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And while you're doing that, you're going to be looking up, because you're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So here it is. Here, if you want to see the grace of God working in somebody's life, by the way, this will make you glad, like Barnabas was. Because this is what you're going to see, the salvation that appears to a person. If a person truly is saved, you're going to see the grace of God in their life. And here it is. You ready? Number one, it's going to be denying. That's the negative aspect. By the way, life is full of negatives. Life isn't a dream world where it's everything's positive. Just because you get saved doesn't mean everything's going to be bright and rosy and wonderful. In fact, the opposite is true. I've had so many people tell me, they say, Brother McLean, I have never had so many problems in my life until after I became a Christian. Anybody have that happened to you? Huh? Great. And it's because it's true. If you're in the devil's family, he doesn't care. You get out of the devil's family, you get into God's family, and now he's concerned. And all of a sudden, he doesn't want you living for God. And the devil opposes everything that is godly. And he will oppose the grace of God working in anybody else's life. And so that's where all trials come. The other thing is God knows that this present world is not good for us. So he brings us trials that we might draw upon him for strength. And you know what? Just like Paul, we can say, his grace is sufficient for me. Because here's what the grace of God does. It denies ungodliness. The things that are not godly, we say, no. The fleshly lusts of the flesh, no. We deny it. I'm not doing that. Why? Because Jesus Christ saved me. That's what salvation does. He saves us from our sin. And we say, no. On the other hand, what does the grace of God do? It denies and it lives. God's come to give me life. He came to give me eternal life and life more abundantly. And that's what life is all about, how to live the Christian life. Oh, yes, there's trials, there's difficulties, but what a great joy it is to have the strength of God in our hearts and lives and to push us on our way, to take us onto the road to glory, because we're waiting for Jesus Christ to come. And so we say, no. Now, here are four things about sin that you need to write down if you don't know them already. But I would say write these down. Number one, sin is going to take you farther than you want to go. Number two, it's going to keep you there longer than you want to stay. Number three, it's going to cost you more than you want to pay. And number four, it's going to make you something you don't want to be. Because the world says sin is fun. And they're right. It is. For about that long. Moses forsook the pleasures of sin for a season. Because sin, though it may be attractive, and that's what causes us to look that way, it will destroy you. It will kill you. It will wipe out your testimony and anything that you'll ever do for God if you do not deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. On the other hand, we can set our minds over here and be thinking about that so much, we forget what God saved us for, and that's to live. I am to live so that Christ liveth in me. Now, I struggle with that. But by His grace, I can. I can say no, and I can say, Dear God, You saved me. You gave me life. You're showing me a new way to walk. You're showing me a new way to live. I need Your grace to do that. I need Your help to be the kind of Christian You want me to be. And that's what we walk. When I look at our people and what God's doing, what a joy it is to be a pastor, to be able to see people that you're working with. We've had a number of people who've come from a very extreme form of Christianity, and I'll call it extreme. Peter Ruttman, with the real strong KJV, where it's double inspiration, that kind of stuff. And we found some of these people have been very hard toward us, and just, I mean, really been really hard at us. And I said, you know, there's something wrong with your life and that you're out of balance. And I said, you need to let the Word of God live in you. Dr. Bill Rice down at the Bill Rice Ranch told me something, Bill Rice III. He said, you know, you don't have to defend the Word of God. It'll defend itself. This is a sword. You know what you do with a sword? You use it. And the more you use it, the more effective it comes. So I just preached the Word and let the Spirit of God do the rest of the work. And we began to see God changing their lives as we give them the Word of God to get some balance in their life, to see what God wants them by denying and living. And it's been amazing as we start looking at our focus on Christ and who He is and the life that He's given to us. We have a life that's worth living. And we have a joy that we need to be sharing with others. The problem is there's too many people who think that the Christian life is do, 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 do. And you're doing this, doing this, doing this. And so many people are so busy out there doing something that they think is the work of God, but it's actually the work of the flesh because the Spirit of God's not in it. And then all of a sudden, after about 3 to 5 years, they're burned out. They're tired. All of a sudden, they keep going for these highs, these spiritual highs. Boy, they go to church on Sunday, and they have to have the spiritual highlight. And then all of a sudden, Monday morning, you think the Spirit of God left. They got to wait for next Sunday, and they got to be all, you know, charged again. I'm going to tell you something. The Christianity I have is the same on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Monday morning. Why? Because it's the life of Christ. It's the life that Christ puts in us. And He saves us by His grace, and we live by His grace. But when you begin to see people who stop depending on their reasoning, their solutions to life, and they begin to look into the Word of God, they begin to allow the Spirit of God to work in their heart, then all of a sudden you start seeing a change as Jesus Christ works in their life, and they begin to yield to the Spirit of God and the will of God. Then all of a sudden, their witness for Christ becomes more dynamic. I spent about 6, 7, 8 weeks on what we call A-Track. It's how to change your thought mind, your thought processes. Every thought brought into the captivity of Christ. And so we started going through changing our sinful thought patterns to godly thought patterns. And so we went through this whole thing. It takes a long time to go through it. A friend of mine, Pastor Doug Hammett, who's now he left the senior pastorate in Lehigh Valley Baptist Church in Lehigh, Pennsylvania, to go to Botswana, Africa as a missionary. He got kicked out of there and went to South Africa, and now he keeps going across the border to keep training nationals in Botswana, and he goes back to South Africa. But he started this program, counseling in America, training pastors, and I picked it up, and he gave me a copy, and man, I loved it. I heard him in a Bible conference, and it changed, you know, just changed so much of what I was thinking, and it helped me to see things God's way in a greater way than I've been seeing before. So I've been teaching it to our people. And then all of a sudden we start seeing God work through His Word and changing lives. Because that's what this Word is for. Without this book, you know what the biggest problem with most Christians? This is not enough. They do not believe in the sufficiency of the Scriptures. I'm going to tell you something. There is nothing that's more sufficient than the Scriptures. And you can't depend on anything else. We have His Holy Spirit that He's given to us at salvation, and He's given us His Word. And when you begin to doubt His Word and you begin to say, well, you know, I just need more experience. Listen, you get into the Word of God and your life will so change to be what God wants you to be, you'll have your experience. But it'll be genuine and to be of God. It won't be the work of men. And we've got too many people who are generating their own spiritual life and it doesn't work. And they start getting to the Word of God, and the Word of God begins to change them, and they begin their walk with Christ, and all of a sudden you start seeing how they deal with their thought processes. And it becomes scriptural. And then God changes their hearts and their lives, and you begin to see the grace of God more and more. And if you look over here at Titus, where he says, verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live. How are you living? I hope by the grace of God. I hope you'll see that it's soberly. And that word soberly means to be clear-headed. We've got too many people with too many thoughts going different directions. But they're not the direction that God wants us to go. We've got to keep a clear head and a clear mind. And that only comes by the power of God through His Spirit and His Word. And so be full of sound doctrine, because that's where the clarity comes. That's where the sobriety comes. And when a Christian gets into the Word of God and he begins to do those things which he reads, and the Spirit of God gives him the things that he feeds and then gives him out to lead him in the places he should go, then you begin to see the work of God. And then you begin to see souls being saved. You begin to see lives changed, and you begin to see churches grow. And we have been seeing our church grow. That's why we have, as you saw the picture, we have more a more stable foundation than ever before. And it took us 5 years. God brought us the people we needed to train in the thinking process to think biblically and let God's grace and His Spirit work in their hearts and lives. And now we get to see that grow. We're trying to move someplace else where we can help some others to grow. Will you pray for us that God will save souls and that we can rejoice and be glad at what God's doing? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for what You've done in our hearts and our lives, for what You're doing in Christ. And we pray tonight that Your Word would just help us to realize we can't do it in the flesh. We have to deny the flesh, and we have to live and do that which is sober, righteous, and holy. And we pray, dear Father, that You would guide us and give us wisdom so that we will be the witnesses for Christ we ought to be. And then the work of this ministry will go on as Christ lives in and through us. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm just going to finish our prayer. I'm going to have Pastor come and close as he sees fit.